This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike to tell you along with Cullen Steele, coordinating everything behind the scenes at 545. Steve Geller will join us for Triple Option. Want to tell everybody at 6:30 tonight, it'll be Pelicans pregame coverage. And at 7 o'clock, the Pelicans will play the Toronto Raptors, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870, starting at 7 o'clock. And the good news is DeJounte Murray in the lineup. So we just got to see him one game, and then that was it. He has suffered the hand injury, and so back in the lineup. And we'll talk at 4:40 with Ali Cassell a little bit more about the game itself and about the impact that I think DeJounte Murray will have on this football, on this basketball team, because they certainly could use him, and he is the orchestra leader. He knows where to go with the ball. He's a good shooter, a solid defensive guy, but, man, he sets up everybody really well out there on the court. So great to see DeJounte back with the Pelicans and back on the court today. Lady Tigers, 82, North Carolina State 65, and LSU ladies win the Baja Mar Pink Flamingo Championship.
What a name.
In Nassau. How about that, Cullen? Man. Hey, you get the trophy. So that's all good.
I'd feel more comfortable saying I'm a Pink Flamingo champion.
There you go.
There you go.
Mikella Williams had 24 points today. Anissa Morrow had 20. Flaje Johnson, she had 16. And so congratulations to the Lady Tigers. And right after the game, they talked to the head coach for North Carolina State, and it was, that's a Final Four team. We just saw it. We played against a Final Four team. So they can see the talent real quickly on that Lady Tiger basketball team. Man, I'm all tied up, football, basketball.
Well, it's because we're back, baby. No bye week. We're here.
That's it. Also today, Pat McQuaid, the starting quarterback for Nicholls State, on social media page announced that he is entering the transfer portal. He'll have one more year left to play, and so he's out at Nicholls State at the quarterback position. Opens up a big void there for Tim Rebo and the Colonels, and started there for 2 years, Southpaw quarterback, and he's throwing himself in the transfer portal. Be interesting to see where he ends up today. Commanders head coach Dan Quinn
Oh, yeah.
made the announcement that Marshawn Lattimore is going to practice. Okay, people say he ain't played. He's not played. He's not practiced in that entire time since the trade to the Commanders. So Marshawn Lattimore dealing with that hamstring injury basically is now back on the practice field. Hopefully he don't hurt himself in practice. They are void of a lot of talent.
They need him.
In the secondary. Ooh-wee. I'll watch that secondary. They're not real good. Lattimore can play. If he's healthy, he can flat-out play.
Turning into the Bengals the last couple of weeks. They're just, like, getting points dumped on him.
And so he certainly a nice addition to the lineup. Daniel Jones. And we got a lot of text about this last night, about where he would end up with the Saints having interest. He did clear waivers, signed today with the Minnesota Vikings. He had a really good relationship with Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell in the pre-draft process. Man, they clicked really, really well. And so when he got a chance, he knows that basically O'Connell has done a great job with mentoring Kirk Cousins, what he's done with Sam Darnold, and what he's going to do with J.J. McCarthy, who's the rookie quarterback who's out for the season. So Daniel Jones signs with the Vikings. Also, his mentor, his quarterback coach there, will be Josh McCown, a longtime NFL quarterback. I think he played for 10 different teams in the NFL.
Journeyman.
Had a long career. Man, he got a lot of W-2s. I know that. He played a long period of time. Last year, he was the quarterback coach with the Carolina Panthers, and he was under Frank Wright. But that didn't work out too well, and the owners say, hey, you got to get this step, and nobody's staying here. So Daniel Jones did sign today with the Minnesota Vikings. Also today, the injury report for the Saints, the two ones you really want to know about, Eric McCoy, Lucas Patrick, did not practice. Darren Rizzi said today that Eric McCoy would be day-to-day. Cullen, I'm going to be honest with you.
You're not liking it?
I don't really care for that too much. I think we'll find out a little bit more by Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But with that kind of re-injuring, and we don't know to what extent. And if I'm the head coach, I ain't telling nobody anything.
No.
You know, that's your problem to find out if McCoy's going to play or not. But that he pulled himself out of the game and then he's not practicing. The Saints need Eric McCoy in the lineup. That offense hums a lot better with that guy in the lineup. He could start for any team in the NFL at either center or guard. He's that good of a player, and you saw his impact when he wasn't in the lineup. And when he came back against the Browns, you saw what he could do out there. Man, he was a really good football player, and so hopefully he can practice Friday and get ready for the Rams. The Rams injury report was not out yet, so we've got to wait on them Pacific time, so to speak, on them to release that. But to beat the Rams, I'm not too worried about the Saints offense. I think they can put points up on the Rams defense. They're certainly vulnerable. They're not the same as last year. No Aaron Donald, and there's nobody that's close to him. You might say next man up. There's no human being that could play that defensive tackle position like Aaron Donald could. They had the two young rookies in Jared Verse, Braden Fisk,
mm-hmm.
both Florida State guys that are in the lineup and have played pretty well this year, to be honest with you. In watching film of last three games, they hustle. I know about Verse a lot on how quick he is off the snap, how he can close with his speed to the quarterback. And Fisk, man, he pushes that inside pocket real hard, good against the run, but their secondary, leaky. I think the Saints can do some business there. What I can't tell you is, can the Saints cover the Rams receivers of Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, and they better get a pass rush on Matt Stafford, who's an elite passer. And he's really elite when you don't put pressure on him. You saw the Eagles got after him. He was mere mortal against the Eagles, but they put a lot of pressure on Matt Stafford. So can the Saints do that this coming Sunday? And we'll have that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll take a break and come back. My old buddy Jim Nagy, who is the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, will be with us talking college football and some of the top college seniors right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele. We'll go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. He is the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Before I ask you a question, I'm going to tell you, the last time we met, man, it was a hot summer day. We're at Manning Passing Academy. It's not too much cooler today. Now, I think we're getting a winter blast tomorrow, but, man, you'd have to look at the calendar. You wouldn't know that it's November.
No, I'm ready for real football weather to hit down here, Mike. This is I'm not used to this. I'm from Michigan, man. I'm a Yankee down here on the Gulf Coast. This is not normal to me.
Jim, I'm gonna bring up two guys to you. They played their high school football not far from where I live, because I still live on the bayou. But Kyron Lacy from Thibodaux High School at LSU today, and Savion Jones went to St. James. And then I was at LSU. Your thoughts on their progression this year? I'm impressed with Savion. When I first saw him, I think he was a sophomore at St. James. He was barely 200 pounds. I think when he left St. James, I don't think his second number was a 2. Then he got real big. And Pete Jenkins told me this last year. Mike, I messed up with him, but I needed bodies at defensive tackle. And then we moved him back to defensive end. I think he has quietly had a really good season for the Tigers at defensive end.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I think both those guys, and then you throw Braden Swinson in there too. I think those three guys at LSU made a really nice jump, and I think Miles Frazier, the guard, made a nice jump as well. I think those guys all really helped themselves. Yeah, Savion's a fun guy to watch. I do think he's more of a base end. At the next level, if he's in a 4-3 base end, if he's in a 3-4, odd front, I think he could probably hang at the 4-eye technique, 5 technique. But he's the biggest thing is the motor. I mean, I don't know if you played like this in high school, but the guy just played his tail off, and that makes him attractive to the Senior Bowl, because guys like that help themselves a lot down here. You get these NFL decision makers down here on the field with them. And they see the effort, and it draws you to him. And you turn on the tape, it draws you to him. So, he's improved his hand use. He's getting off blocks better. He's really had a good year. And Kyron Lacy, I think the biggest development there is just the catch consistency has been an issue in the past, and I think he's shored that up quite a bit this year. It's been his turn. This was his turn to step up with Brian Thomas and I'm blanking on my boy. Malik Nabers. Yeah, Malik Nabers. With those two guys going off the league, this is kind of Kyron's time to kind of grab the mantle and feel like he's at.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
A good year as well.
One of the things, he did a camp with us in Thibodaux at Nichols State, and he walked up to me before I even told him anything. He said, "I'm going to stop you from saying that I'm good for one drop a game." But he's had some games that you'll have that one drop in it, but he's gotten much, I agree with you, he's gotten much better, Jim, catching the football out front with his hands. He was a little bit of a body snatcher, to be honest with you. He catched that ball right up against his chest, and he tried to run with it, and then the ball would pop out of there. Braden Swinson's interesting because he didn't do squat at LSU a year ago. Nothing. I didn't see this coming, Jim. I'll be honest with you. He's an Oregon transfer guy. Whatever he got brought in with, now it has blossomed, and you can see his pass rush skills are very, very good. But he's the surprise guy for me on LSU on the defensive side of the football.
They've done a great job. The new defensive staff, you know, getting more out of some of these guys than we've seen in the past. And Braden's one of them for sure. You know, if the draft were a year ago, had he come out in last year's draft, he wouldn't have been drafted. You know, and now he's probably played himself into that fourth roundish type area, which that's a big jump, man. You Mike, you know that.
That's
a huge jump. You jump three full rounds in a year in the NFL draft. That's a significant jump. So, yeah, he's you know, he's not in that top tier of rushers. He's probably in that next tier down, but he's certainly a guy that, you know, a year from now, we're talking next year, Thanksgiving week, and he's on an NFL roster. I do think he's going to be in somebody's rotation, you know, in sub packages trying to get after the quarterback. So, yeah, he's another guy. There, like I said, there's been a handful of guys on that Tiger team that have helped themselves. In those three guys that we've talked about are certainly three of them.
One of the guys, too, I saw you gave the invite to Jack Besh when Jack signed here with Coach O. They were going to use him like a flex tight end. They thought that's where he would be best suited. And I don't want him running anchor on the full by 400-meter relay team, but he's a big target receiver. He knows how to get open. He can run routes extremely well. And he does a nice job of setting up a defensive back and gaining separation downfield. He's another guy. When he's going to go on a team, they're not going to get rid of him. He can do the little things very well, and he's a really good downfield blocker.
He's one of my favorite guys in the draft, Mike, in terms of, like, I didn't know a lot about this kid before the year. And to get into the tape this year, I do remember him at LSU. I do remember him. I think he led the team in receiving that COVID year, if I'm not mistaken. You're the LSU authority, not me. But I do remember this guy at LSU. I mean, they don't have a lot of white receivers at LSU, so I certainly remember this guy. But to see what he's done, like, I don't know what he's going to run a 40. I agree with your assessment of him. I don't know what the 40 time's going to look like. But to me, what he is, he's really good off the line of scrimmage. I mean, however fast he is, he hits top speed pretty fast. And that's, you know, in my time with the New England Patriots, we had a guy like that. Now, totally different body types because Jack's a big kid. He's 220-some pounds. But Wes Welker, you know, Wes Welker ran 4.7 flat coming out of Texas Tech, and that's why he went undrafted. But, you know, being around Wes for all the years that I was, you know, from 0 to 10 yards, I mean, this dude he got on top of people in a hurry. And that's what Jack Besh does. Yeah, he's had a great year. I think he's a finalist for the Biletnikoff or semifinalist for that award, and he's earned it. He's a really savvy dude. I don't think he gets out of the fourth round now, you know, and I think he's got a chance to go in the third. He's really, really put himself in a good position heading into this pre-draft process.
If he can run better than I think he can, I think you're absolutely right. Now, again, I don't know how quick and fast he's going to run, but, he's a quality guy. Really hard-working young man, knows how to run routes, and he's going to really help an NFL team. I talked to Mark Schlereff about this, not yesterday, but a week ago, about bringing in so many, and you do a great job of it, compiling all these offensive linemen. Because I think we're looking at it, Jim, a little differently today. If you can run the football, control the clock, okay, all the sexy stuff with pitch and catch with the receivers and tight end, that's never going to be out of vogue. But you got to run the ball, and you got to have big men that can protect and run block. You guys have done a tremendous job the last couple years in bringing that talent to Mobile. And so what does it look like this year in comparison to, say, the last 2 years where it was pretty thick along that offensive line? And they peeled off the board real fast.
Yeah, we did. I think we had 5 first-round offensive linemen last year and a bunch more on day 2. I do appreciate you saying that, Mike. But, yeah, this year's class is not to that level, for not close, really. But it is a little better than I thought it was going to be. There's been some guys emerge and improve. The one position that's a concern, if you're a fan of an NFL team that needs a starting center, uh-oh, and you feel like you need to go and get one this offseason, you better start looking in free agency. There's maybe one or two guys, you know, that our staff feels and the teams that we speak with, you know, in our process that feel good about, you know, drafting a guy and plugging him in. It's a really thin center class. There's a lot of backup level centers in this draft. There's not a lot of starting level centers. But I'll say that there are some good players at the guard position. The tackle position is going to be helped by a couple small school kids that have come on. And then a couple under the radar juniors that I don't think people like are aware of and think they're going to leave. But a lot of what I do, Mike, and you know this, is talk to the agent community. And this time of year, I'm trying to get a handle on which juniors are coming out because they can play in the Senior Bowl now. So some of the names that are coming across my desk are guys that, you know, that are kind of catching us off guard. And then when we go watch the tape, we're like, wow, this kid's really a good player. Maybe he should consider coming out. So I think the guard and tackle spot is going to end up being okay. It's just the center class. You better hope you have one because there's not a lot of help in this year's draft.
And then the young man from Ohio State who I didn't think much of him leading into the season. I knew he was going to be that starter. Man, he really played well. Then he goes down last week to an injury.
Yeah, Seth McLaughlin, I hate it for him. You're right, Mike. I mean, these calls we do with teams, I talk to some friends around the league, the, you know, director level, assistant GM, GM level guys that they're like, man, if you would have read my report last year from Alabama, we crushed this guy. Yeah. And this same conversation happened multiple times. And they're like, I almost had to like recheck myself when I went into Columbus this year. Like, is it the same? Am I watching the same guy? So it's really too bad for Seth. He went from being a guy that wasn't going to be drafted a year ago, goes up to Columbus, and really played really. I mean, he was in consideration to be, you know, second, third center off the board, probably in that fourth, fifth round range. And so, yeah, it's too bad. He, you know, I think it was an Achilles injury, so that's going to keep him out. But you hate it for him, but he's still going to get a chance to be an NFL player. You just wish you would have been able to go through this process healthy.
You keep tabs on college football so closely, and we see it in the SEC. That was a lot of debate. I know Nick Saban wanted all the SEC teams to play 10 other SEC teams. The big debate was would they go to 9. After what I see this year, Jim, there ain't no way. You staying with 8 with the cannibalization that you see in the SEC, everybody chewing on one another. And I'll be honest, like that any given Sunday, now it's any given Saturday. When you play in SEC football, that's how competitive it is. And that's what makes the last couple of weeks of the season so intriguing for everybody.
Yeah, you used the right word, Mike. I mean, I haven't thought of it that way. The cannibalization, I like that term because that's what's happening right now in the SEC. You know, I always look at this thing through an NFL draft prism. That's where all my eyes go. And again, when you look at it every year, which teams are usually there in the end of the 4-team playoff? It's the teams with the most NFL prospects on them. I mean, last year Michigan had the most NFL guys drafted, and they won the national championship. This year, we sent more invites to Columbus, Ohio than any other school. We sent 11 up there. The next most was Georgia with 6. So if that tells you anything, we think Ohio State's winning the national championship, or at least they should, you know, if you're basing it off talent versus talent. But yeah, the SEC, I mean, I think you could, the teams you wouldn't want to see, you wouldn't want to see Ole Miss in the playoff. They've got an NFL front four. You know, you wouldn't want to see Georgia in the playoff. I mean, they've got NFL dudes everywhere. You know, Tennessee, you don't want to face them if you're one of these other schools from another conference, because they can heat up the quarterback like schools in other conferences can't. So, that's the tough part. You know, you put LSU in some of these other conferences, they're probably running away with it. So, the SEC, you know, and again, I've lived down here for 18 years. I've been scouting for 25 years, and year in and year out, the SEC puts, you know, it's usually around 25% of the draft. About a quarter of the draft every year is SEC guys. So, you know, I agree with you. They certainly shouldn't be adding more SEC games. If they, if three losses gets you out of the playoff, they certainly don't need to add any more SEC games to the schedule.
Last question for you, Jim. And I was disappointed in watching him early. I watched him closely at Manning Passing Academy, and that was Carson Beck. I thought he was aiming the ball. He was putting balls, and they were almost falling in front of a receiver. Now, the last couple weeks now, he has started to heat up, and that's the guy I remember a year ago. And that's the guy I thought we'd see early in the season. And I think if there's a quarterback, and people certainly looking at Cam Ward, and he's made a great jump up the boards. Shedeur Sanders is, I think most people's number one. But if there's one guy that can make a huge jump and he makes Georgia scary, it's Carson Beck. If he plays like he has the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, no question. Carson was our top quarterback on the board coming into the fall. And, you know, for whatever reason, he's had a lot of spotty patches here. You know, he's turned the ball over in streaks. Now, I had a good conversation with Carson at the Manning Academy. I was frankly worried he was going to play himself like Jaden Daniels did last year in a position as a lock top five pick where we wouldn't end up with him in the Senior Bowl. And I don't know, maybe he's pressing. Don't really know. You know, I talked to Kirby Smart about it last week about Carson and what's going on. But the good part is if you're an evaluator, he is bouncing back. You know, the last couple weeks have been good. The first half against Alabama was tough, but he bounced back in that game. Like there is some bounce back to this kid. So the good news for Carson, you know, and if you're Carson and his family, if they can get into the playoff, which I think they should, if they can beat kind of a pesky Georgia Tech team, he's got a lot of big stage games to make an impact with NFL teams. The NFL is going to be really focused on this 12-team playoff. They're big stage games, hostile environments, a lot on the line. And those are big games for quarterback evaluation. So, we thought he was the most improved college quarterback in last year. You know, going into last year's game, he and Jaden Daniels I thought were the two most improved quarterbacks, and he just didn't pick up where he left off. So, but again, there's still time. This is going to be a big December, a big January for him.
And you can win the offseason too. Go to the Senior Bowl, and you can win the offseason. Come on, Jim, that's right. You've seen guys do that.
Every year. No, that's why it's easy for me to sell this game, because I know the impact it can have on these guys and their careers. And I tell everyone, it's one thing for a scout like me to go into a draft room and pound the table for a guy, but it's a whole different level of buy-in when the GM and the head coach see him in Mobile. Trust me, I've lived that life for 20 years. Like, I've loved certain players, but the GM hadn't seen him or the head coach hadn't seen him in person, and it's just a little more difficult. So, I mean, these head coaches and GMs, they're just normal guys. They all started somewhere. And they're all just human. It's human nature. We want to surround ourselves with people we're familiar with. So that's my selling point to all these agents. I don't care if your guy's a first round pick, he can still go higher in the first round, and it's impactful when you're Mike Tomlin and you're walking around the Senior Bowl practice field for 3 days, and these guys are doing good stuff in front of you. It's impactful for them. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But we got Cam Ward signed up this week. We're excited about that one. And Mike, we appreciate you having me on the show, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners.
Thanks so much, Jim. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Always great to have you on. Tremendous insights. Thank you, buddy. That was Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. And, man, you talk about the NFL congregating in Alabama one time of the year, and they there, brother. They there in full. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. Ollie Cosell, who covers the Pelicans, will be on with us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTeglia along with Cullen Steele on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, covers the Pelicans and the NBA, Ollie Cosell. Ollie, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Absolutely, Mike. Let's see if we can bring some kind of magic. Put it up in the air and the Pelicans all of a sudden turn this thing around.
Yeah, hopefully. And, hey, look, a little bit of good luck. I tell the guys from Arthur LA when I get them on, and you always give me bad news. And, you know, Dr. Elias says, Mike, because you always Zach's going to about an injury. I can't give you a good news on that particular deal, but finally good news with the return of DeJounte Murray. And I think you always need a catalyst on the court. You always need that guy. And he is a really good one with that. He's a good shooter, really solid on the defensive side also. But to set up everybody else, man, there's a few and far between that can do it as good as Murray. He is going to be a big addition to the lineup. We only got to see him in one game, and then he goes down. So I'm anxious to watch DeJounte, and can some of the other pieces come into place here?
Yeah, I don't think you're underselling this at all. I mean, all you have to do is look at how poorly the Pelicans have performed, right? We'll focus on the offense since that's where DeJounte Murray is really going to help this team, at least initially. And they were floundering. And then all of a sudden you saw them sign Elfrid Payton. And all of a sudden the offense, at times when he was out there in the court, really, you know, looked pretty good, leading to Elfrid Payton having 21 assists in the last game. So you can see that this team honestly does need that kind of conductor, right? Directing traffic, directing the offense. And they tried last couple years, given the primary responsibilities of Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson, but everybody knew it was time for a point guard because that just didn't work, right? That project didn't work. So, yeah, DeJounte Murray was that big acquisition over the summer, and unfortunately, injuries have gotten him too, and we've only seen him for one game. But I will say, in that one game, that season opener, he led the Pelicans to an impressive win, and the offense was so good. He didn't have a good shooting night, but you know what the team did? They got out and they ran. They forced their turnovers and played the style that Willie Green wants to, where it led to 29 fast break points. That's still their season high for the year, that just that first game. And if they can do that, that's what's going to help them get the easy points, Mike. And look, here's a good stat to check out tonight. How many fast break points do they score tonight? Anytime they've had 15 or more this year, team's actually 14-1. If they come in under 15, 0-13. So that's what I'm going to be looking at, DeJounte Murray, and just how quickly they can get in their offense.
One of the things in talking to people who cover the league was that they were surprised a little bit. Now, I know this team's been ravaged by injuries, but they were always good on the defensive side. And you haven't seen that this year. And again, it's all about who's on the court, but they haven't played really good defense. And hopefully when you can get some of the other pieces in place, that'll come around because that's what Willie Green was selling. Fast break. Get the three up, score, but play great defense. This team hasn't done any of that.
No, and that's right. That's supposed to be their calling card. That's what Willie Green really that's where he begins everything, right? All his schemes, drawing up plays, and just their style of play. It has to start on that end. And to your point, previous two seasons, they were a top 10 defensive team, right? Borderline almost in the top five. And this year it's fallen off a cliff. And the reason really is it's the personnel.
Yeah.
Right? They played one way. They had most of their guys available in preseason, especially up in training camp. And all of a sudden you're asked, well, you're going to not have maybe six, maybe top seven players of your rotation. So if you do that, all of a sudden you're putting guys together that have never played. And more, you don't really have the practice time for them to get acclimated to one another. So that's why, honestly, the defense has looked terrible. But of late, I know there was a back-to-back games where, you know, they had a drubbing of to Dallas, and I forget the other opponent, but outside of those two games, the defense has looked a lot better, right, over the last 10 games. So hopefully it's trending in the right direction. And you got to remember, Eve Missy, he's a big part of it. He's a rookie. I think once he gets acclimated a little bit more, you'll see, right, that cohesion, the stops, it'll get better because we're seeing more glimpses of it now than we did earlier in the year.
Yeah, and again, basketball I don't think is that hard to pick up, but he didn't have a lot of experience to pick it up. And I think there's nothing like playing. Okay, somebody can tell you something, but you got to play. And I think that was the issue with him. He didn't have a lot of court time. And the more court time he's going to get, I think the better off he'll be as a player. The one shocker to me is, and I could have never picked this up, Brandon Boston, how well he's played for the Pelicans so far this season. Your thoughts on Brandon?
Yeah, Brandon Boston's been a nice find to where the Los Angeles Clippers waived him because they, for salary cap reasons, needed to lose some money, basically. So they jettisoned him, and the Pelicans picked him up off of waivers. And I honestly think he's the best two-way player in the league. Right? If you watch just a couple of his games, he can do basically everything on the court, right? He can initiate the offense. He can hit a shot. He can drive. And also, he can play some defense and get you a rebound, right? He can do almost everything on the court. But he's only, again, 22. He's never really been in this position before, right? With the Clippers, he saw a minimal role, so he wasn't getting the minutes. But now he's getting those minutes. And like I said, it looks like the Pelicans found themselves a piece for beyond this year. I would not at all be surprised if they tender him a contract sometime this offseason where they keep him around for at least a few more years.
I agree with you, Ollie. I think you hit the nail on the head with that one. Ollie, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights. And let's see if they can put a W up against the Raptors.
I hear you. I want to see it. That'd be the greatest little gift before Thanksgiving, right? Before our bellies get full.
There you go. Thank you, Ollie. Appreciate it, bud.
Yep.
All right, Ollie Cosell, who covers the NBA and the New Orleans Pelicans. And you can hear that game tonight. Pregame at 6:30. At 6:30, yes. And tip-off at 7 o'clock. The Pelicans and the Raptors. Todd Graffanini with the call. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number one of Sports Talk right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk, finishing up hour number one. I want to thank Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, along with Ollie Cosell, does a great job covering the NBA and the Pelicans. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.